presidential debate gets down to business. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Mark Garrison, in for David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Last night, Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton took the stage for the final presidential debate. Let's take an economic view with Lindsay Piegza. She is chief economist at Stifel Nicolaus. Good morning, Lindsay.
Good morning.
There was a lot of talk about jobs and how to create them. What did you think of what we heard from the candidates last night?
We did hear from candidate Clinton that the labor market has taken sizable steps in the right direction, while we heard from Trump saying there really remains a significant amount of pressure on the labor market at this point. So very different perspectives. What we certainly do know is that we're not at full employment yet. There's still millions of Americans out there that are looking for jobs. So it's very clear that both candidates are looking for improvement in the labor market, but I'm not sure that either of their plan really addresses some of the underlying disconnects that we've seen.
When you talk to investors, what are people following when they're analyzing the different plans the candidates have? There are some particular differences about taxes.
I think investors are looking for which platform is going to immediately impact and grow the economy. We certainly want to put money back in the hands of investors, of hardworking Americans. And I think investors are really deciding which platform does that at a faster and much more efficient pace. Businesses remain on the sideline, hesitant to invest in everything from equipment, software, and certainly high-wage full-time employees. So I think voters are really going to struggle with which platform will loosen up those corporate purse strings, put Americans back to work, and by extension then start to boost income.
Okay, Lindsay Piegza at Stifel Nicolaus, thanks very much.
Thanks for having me.
There was also talk last night about the potential impact of paying for what all of Clinton and Trump are proposing. Marketplace's Adam Allenton is with us in Washington. Adam, what do they have to say about the national debt?
Secretary Clinton said her budget would offset increased spending on education, infrastructure, and health care through changes to the tax code.
If you look at the debt, which is the issue you asked about, Chris, I pay for everything I'm proposing. I do not add a penny to the national debt.
A key point here, according to the Nonpartisan Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget, both Clinton and Trump's plan would increase the national debt over the next decade. Trump, however, said the U.S. could reduce its national debt by boosting GDP to more than three times what it is now, over 4%.
I think you can go to 5 or 6%. And if we do, you don't have to bother asking your question, because we have a tremendous machine. We will have created a tremendous economic machine once again.
Now, growth in real GDP has been pretty anemic for the last 10 years or so, but growth rates of the kind Trump is talking about, 4, 5, 6%, are pretty rare for a modern developed economy.
Marketplace's Adam Allenton in Washington, thanks. One thing both candidates last night tried to tap into is this growing sense of frustration that the economic system in America is biased. Biased means different things for different people, but it is a powerful and a real sentiment, one that increasingly cuts across party lines. That is one of the interesting trends we're seeing in our latest Marketplace Edison Research poll. Kimberly Adams reports from Washington on what Americans really think about the economic system and how it's all playing out in the campaign.
Consensus is becoming harder to find in politics these days, but most seem to agree with one thing about the economy. It's rigged.
It's rigged by big businesses who want to leave our country.
That's Donald Trump, and here's Hillary Clinton.
And yes, the economy is rigged in favor of those at the top.
Our latest Marketplace Edison research poll matches up. Almost two-thirds of Americans say the economy is rigged. Regardless of party, they agree it's mostly rigged to benefit the rich and big corporations.
I mean, there's sentiment and there's kind of reality. And in this instance, they're lining up pretty well.
Sylvia Allegretto is with the Center on Wage and Employment Dynamics. She says her research backs up the idea that the economy is rigged in favor of those at the top. After that, Americans' consensus falls apart. The full breakdown of the numbers is at marketplace.org. For example, on race, Clinton supporters tend to say the economy is rigged in favor of whites. Far fewer Trump supporters say so. Economist Allegretto says whites generally do come out on top in the economy compared to minorities, but she points out that's not always the case.
Is it rigged for low-income whites? The evidence wouldn't suggest so.
And the stark political divide continues. When we asked, is the economy rigged in favor of immigrants or people on public assistance? Most Trump supporters said yes. Most Clinton supporters said no. Mary Mine is director of research at Edison Research, which conducted the Marketplace poll. She says these big differences match what's being said on the campaign trail, even if they don't match the economy.
So we have, you know, on the one hand, the statistics and the information about how the economy is doing. And then on the other hand, we have rhetoric.
Mind says these poll results show that the rhetoric is winning. In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams for Marketplace.
And finally, oil companies are not known for stirring up warm, fuzzy emotions in people. But one notable exception is the Citgo sign, a Boston skyline icon for decades, viewable from Fenway Park. Fans of the sign have worried about its fate recently, since the building under it was sold to a developer. Now the Boston Globe reports the city's Landmarks Commission is working on a plan to make sure new owners protect the sign lots of folks love. In New York, I'm Mark Garrison with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.